chapter 6. We took a few weeks off from our study of the Gospels to talk about personal evangelism, and we're going to get right back into the Gospels now. I pray that God stirred your heart up for evangelism, and it's hard to study the Bible without seeing the need for us to take the good news to others. And so we'll see that in the message as well tonight, but I want to challenge you to get involved with our outreach in our church. We have soul-winning outreach on Thursday nights at 6 o'clock, and we need more people. Jesus had one prayer request that I know of in his earthly ministry, and it was this: pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into the harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We need more to come on Thursday nights to go out into our community and try to reach others with the gospel. We have our welcome team to welcome in guests that come and to just go visit them and thank them for coming. We have our care team where you can go and be involved with visiting, follow-up visits with people who have come, and just shut-ins and hospital visits and all types of ways. But we want to have an impact outside of the walls of our church. Amen. That's why we call it outreach, because we want to reach out to others, and primarily so that we can give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we want to do good. We want to help people, provide meals for people, and do nice things for people. Service projects and all those things are wonderful. But if we don't give the gospel, then what good have we really done? And so all of the outreach efforts that we have are for the purpose of getting the gospel. We want to get the gospel to people so we can get the people to Christ. And you'll see how that ties into the message right now. Mark chapter 6. Beginning at verse 53, could you stand with me, please? Mark 6 and 53, it's been a minute. So we want to give you a quick review. If you study Mark chapter 6, you find how Jesus is on one side and the disciples, he told them to go take rest, but then the multitudes followed them. They went across the sea. They followed them around the end of the Sea of Galilee and met him there, and they fed the thousands there on the seashore. And then Jesus told the disciples to pass on, and Jesus walked on the water. You remember how Peter came out, and all of these events have happened, and they come to the other side of the sea, to the land of Gennesaret. And that's where we pick up here, Mark chapter 6, verse 53. The Word of God says, "And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him." Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Please help us to rightly divide your truth tonight. Just convict our hearts, Lord. Help us to see what happens when Jesus comes to shore and the difference that you make in a community. And Lord, I pray that you would use us to bring others to Christ. I pray that you'd forgive us when we fail you. Change our hearts and lives tonight, Lord, by your word, by your spirit. And let this church be a church of true disciples. And Lord, let it be said here at Calvary that the disciples were multiplied in this place. For your glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to learn a few things about the healing that Jesus did at Gennesaret. The place of healing, the person of healing, the people he healed, and the power of healing. Notice, first of all, with me, the place of healing. When they had passed over, they came into a land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. Gennesaret is also known as Chinnereth or Gennesar. If you look on your Bible map, it depending on what timeline you're looking at, it came by different names. But if you look at a map of the Sea of Galilee in your Bible, you'll find it on basically the northwestern shore. And Caesarea is more to the north and just across there to Gennesaret. The historians tell us that Gennesaret was exceedingly fruitful. It was full of gardens and orchards. It was well known to be a place of large fruit that was exceedingly sweet. A country where there were many gardens, a place in the land of Galilee whose fruit was large and good. And so that's what Gennesaret was known for, fruitful gardens. And we're going to see great fruit was born when Jesus came to that place. Fruit's good, right? I like fruit. I like fruit. Fruit's good, but spiritual fruit is the best. And so we'll see some spiritual fruit happen here. So that's the place. And of course, we know the person. Verse 54, and when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. So when they came into the land of Gennesaret, they got out of the ship and the people there. Of course, you notice when somebody comes up, it's no different than when we're here. If you're standing outside in the foyer at the church and somebody pulls into the parking lot, everybody looks to see who it is. And if you see a strange vehicle that you don't recognize, you really look to see who it is. And you want to know, well, who's that in that car? Did so-and-so get a new vehicle or what's going on? And you look to know who is it. And so when the ships came in, it was no different for the locals there. The ship showed up and they wondered who was there. And when they figured out it was Jesus of Nazareth, they knew who he was. They knew something about Jesus. They knew about the miracles that he had done. They knew about the healing. They had heard about this Jesus of Nazareth. And they, when they arrived, they knew it was him. And by the way, when Jesus came to town, and the people knew it was him, it changed things. I want you to notice the reaction that the people had in verse 55. And they knew him, straightway, immediately they knew him, and ran through the whole region about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick and where they heard he was. And so when Jesus came into that area and they knew it was Jesus, the people immediately began to run to the areas around that region. They ran to this community, and they ran to that village, and they ran to that town, and they found people that were sick, and they carried them back to where they knew Jesus was. Friends, that's good. If you read this account in Matthew chapter 14, verse 35 says, "And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased." So the diseased and those that were sick and those that were unable to move themselves, they sent out and they ran out. They ran to find the people. And so maybe you're here in Muldrow and you hear Jesus came to town and you got a grandmother over in Salisaw who's sick. So you would run over there and you get grandma and you'd bring her back to Jesus. Or maybe you got a cousin laid up in the hospital at Fort Smith and you would run there as fast as you could and you'd load them up and you'd get help to bring them back to where Jesus was. And you'd do anything you could because you know somebody that's sick, somebody that's diseased, somebody that's dying, and the physicians can't help them, and you can't help them, but now Jesus is in town, and you know he can help them, so you'll do anything you can to get them back to Jesus. Now, friends, if they would do that for somebody's physical ailments, I mean, if Jesus walked in the door right now, don't you think we'd be bringing everybody we know that has cancer, we'd get them here as quick as we could? I mean, half of our prayer request time is spent up with people who have cancer. And we would say, I've got to go get them. I got to go get them. I got to bring them to Jesus. Jesus can heal them. If I could just get them to Jesus, then they could be healed. I'm going to do whatever I can do to get them to him. And if we would do anything to get a sick person who is cancer, who has heart disease or any other ailment, we would do anything to get them to Jesus. How much more should we do anything to bring the sin sick to the Savior? I mean, when they knew Jesus was there, they ran. They sent. They carried them in beds. They did anything they could to bring people to Jesus. Dear friend, listen. We don't have to bring anybody physically to Jesus. When we go, we take Jesus to them. We don't have to get them in a bed or what we would call a stretcher. We don't have to put somebody on a stretcher and drag them. We can just go to them and we give them the gospel. And the gospel is the means by which we bring them to Christ. Do you get that? I mean, some of you have seen the old westerns and somebody gets hurt out there and you got no way to move them. So you make a stretcher and you drag it behind the horse, right? Everybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, still Oklahoma, most of you have seen a Western. Well, imagine this, friend. When you go to somebody and you begin to talk to them about Jesus Christ, and you begin to talk to them about righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, and you begin to speak to them about their sin condition, and you begin to warn them about hell and how everyone who dies without Christ will end up there, and you begin to talk to them about how Jesus Christ paid for their sin on the cross, and he was buried and he rose again, when you begin to tell them about how they can repent, turn from their sin to God, and talk to them about trusting in Christ with all their heart, what you're doing, your friend, is you're building a stretcher. You're laying them on a stretcher. You're showing them they're sick. You're trying to drag them along and bring them along spiritually in their mind to a place of repentance. You're trying to bring them along spiritually in their heart to a place of faith. And we're dragging them on a bed to Christ spiritually. And we do that by speaking to them the gospel. They carried them in beds, all those that were sick, where they heard he was. They went and found him, found the sick people, and they brought them to Jesus. These are the people that were healed. They were diseased. They were sick. They were hurting. They could not help themselves. We've got to get to people who need Jesus. We've got to do everything we can to bring them to Christ. I want you to notice that this all started because they knew him. Matthew said, when the men of that place had knowledge of him. And friends, if we can help people to know Christ, then they can trust in Christ. One man said, if Christ were better known, he would not be neglected as he is. Christ is trusted as far as he is known. You see, we need to make Christ known. That ought to be the heart cry. That ought to be the cry of our heart every day, to know him and to make him known. To know him and to make him known. We ought to get in this word every day so that we can know him and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To know him better, to know his word better, so that we can walk with him, yes, so that we can fellowship with him, yes, but so that we can make him known. When he was known, they took knowledge of him, they sent out, they brought the people to Christ. Matthew Henry said, we can no better testify our love to our country than by promoting and propagating the knowledge of Christ in it. Amen. There's nothing better we can do. I love America. I love what America stands for because it was founded on the principles of the Word of God. I love the freedom that we have, freedom of speech and freedom of religion. By the way, not freedom from religion, but freedom of religion. I love that we have the right to gather and worship. I have the, love the right to go and to hand out these gospel tracts anywhere in the country. And it doesn't matter what city ordinances or whatever lies they want to come up with. We have the right to go and speak the gospel and proclaim the gospel to others. I love that. I like to consider myself to be patriotic. I'm grateful for our veterans. I'm grateful for those who have given their lives in service. I'm grateful for those who serve today. I mean, we go to the football game, we stand up, we put our hand over our heart when the anthem plays. Matter of fact, we don't even have to make it into the stadium. We went to the ball game Friday night, we're walking in, we're running late as always, and the anthem started playing, we're in the parking lot. You know what my family did? We stopped and we put our hands over our heart, we faced the music. That's what you do. And there were several people that walked by. Matter of fact, one man stopped and asked my wife a question in the middle of the national anthem. I wanted to punch him in the nose, but he was bigger than me. I think that there are a lot of things we ought to do for our country. I love the way the countries come together to help the hurricane victims, and we've seen that happen. We've seen the nation pull together, and that's good. You know, we could buy cases of water and send them down to Houston. We can buy cases of water and send them down to Florida. And we can send money and we can send relief and we can even pack up and drive down and load up and do physical work. We can do all kinds of things, but there's nothing better that we can do for the region round about us. That's what he says here, the region round about. Nothing better than to run to people and to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 56 goes on and says, "And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment." Stop right there. I mean, the people, they brought him in to wherever they heard Jesus was, because he didn't just stand there at the seashore. He went into the towns and villages and went to this town and village and that town and village, and he went there doing what he always did. He healed the sick and he preached the gospel. That's what Jesus did. He did good and he gave the gospel. And you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to do good and give the gospel. Now, none of us can lay our hands on somebody and heal them. And certainly if somebody comes and grabs your jacket or something, you're not going to heal them by that virtue. But we can do good. And the best good we can do is give the gospel. And that's what he did. And so they brought the people and they laid them in the streets, and they knew Jesus would pass by. And as he passed by, the sick people would plead with him, say, "Lord, can I just touch but the hem of your garment? Lord, can I just touch your robe? Lord, can I just touch the end of it down here as you pass by?" Listen, they just wanted it close enough to touch him. And we might remember in Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 to 22, when Jesus was passing through to go to Jairus' house to heal his servant, the Bible says in Matthew 9, 20, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, 'If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole.' But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole.' And the woman was made whole from that hour." And I just can't help but wonder if the people there heard about that and that news had spread all around, so that now when Jesus walks through a town, they say, "Jesus, Son of David, can I just touch the hem of your garment?" And they believed that the virtue of Christ was so powerful, if they just touched his clothes, they could be healed. Friends, that's faith. That's faith. That's faith. See, Jesus has power to heal. He heals through the power of his Holy Spirit. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit of God has incredible power. The Spirit of God has lasting power. The Spirit of God has the power to bring the dead to life again. The Spirit of God has the power to heal all sin. Elisha was a man who was filled with the Spirit of God. The Bible says in 2 Kings 13:21, "It came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet." Why? Because Elisha had the Spirit of God in his life. And the Spirit of God was so much on the life of Elisha that God wanted the people to understand that my Spirit has power beyond men. What could the bones do? Elisha didn't say a word. Elisha didn't wave his staff. He didn't do anything with his mantle. He did nothing. He was just bones. But when the dead man touched the bones of Elisha, the Spirit of God moved and revived that man. I'm trying to tell you, the Spirit of God has power. And can I ask you tonight, who lives in you? Who's empowered the church to be witnesses for Christ? Is it not the Holy Spirit of God? The same Spirit that was on Elisha? Is it not that same Spirit that is in us and empowering us today to be witnesses for Christ? Friends, I'm telling you, if the Holy Spirit of God will fill us up, dead men who come in contact with us can be made alive. That's right. Though we're nothing but bones. That's all I am. I'm a bag of bones. I'm nothing. I'm dust. But the Spirit of God working through me can make dead men come to life again. Y'all don't get excited about it. Just act depressed. Friends, this is good stuff. It breaks my heart to think about the ways I fell in trying to be a witness for Christ. I feel like I never say the right things. I feel like I don't ever do the right things. I feel like I miss opportunities. And I'm just trying to encourage you as I encourage myself tonight, friends. We have the power of the Holy Spirit of God working in us and through us. And we can be used by God to bring dead bones to life again. We can bring people to Christ. The diseased can be healed. The dying can be made alive. The dead can be brought to life again. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12 says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, that the diseases departed from them and the evil spirits went out of them." I mean, this is how full of the Spirit Paul was. They'd bring handkerchiefs, they'd bring aprons, they'd give them to Paul, and then he would handle them and touch his body, and they'd take them back to the sick people, and as soon as they touched that garment, that apron or that handkerchief, the people would be healed. You say, man, that's incredible. Paul was amazing. No, Paul wasn't amazing. The Holy Spirit was amazing. Paul was humble. Paul was yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. He said, "God, you take all of me." And every day, Paul said, "I die daily." You know what made Paul special? Because he was dead. He died to himself and he lived fully for Christ. That's what made him special. That's why God did great miracles through him. And that's how God will use us if we'll be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. Give ourselves to him. The sad thing is, friends, is these people asked to be healed, but they didn't ask to be taught. It's sad to think how much more concerned most of us are about our bodies than we are about our souls. You say, this is a good thing. Jesus healed them. That's good. It'd be good if somebody with cancer was healed today. It'd be good. You've seen it, haven't you? I mean, I've known people that went to the hospital. They said, "You've got some kind of mass." They do an MRI. They said, "We don't know what we're going to do." And they get all worried about it. And the people start praying. They get their church praying. They go back to the doctor to get another MRI to see how it's progressed. And the tumor's gone. God does that. That's good. But let me tell you something, friend. If you're healed of cancer and you die in your sin, you've gained nothing. But more time to live in your sin. I think physical healing is wonderful. I think it's good that we pray for people who are sick. I think it's good that we do that. Jesus was obviously concerned for the sick and the diseased. But the picture here, the example here, is not about the physical. It's about the spiritual. That's what he was mainly concerned with. That's what he was after. Because if he healed them physically, they would listen to the gospel and then he could save them eternally. These people were brought to Jesus and they believed, they trusted, they believed in his virtue and his power to the point if they thought, if I could just touch him, I could be healed. And the Bible says there at the end of verse 56, "And as many as touched him were made whole." And I love the way that Matthew says it, Matthew 14, 36. "And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole." Because when Jesus heals, he heals completely. And when Jesus saves, he saves to the uttermost. I've been saved to the uttermost. And we ought to be running about, bringing everyone we can to Christ, carrying them, diseased, sin-sick, dying or dead in their trespasses and sins, do all that we can to bring them to Christ, to come to him, to be personal recipients of his power to heal. And those who would come and will believe will receive the gift of eternal life. Revelation 22, 17, the last invitation. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You see, healing was available because Jesus was there. And everyone who believed enough to reach out and touch his garment was made perfectly whole. And when we give people the gospel, anyone who would believe Christ enough just to reach out and trust in him, they'll be given eternal life. Do you know him? The ones that knew him ran out to bring others to him. If we know him, we ought to be running out to bring others to him. As we get ready for an invitation tonight, I'd ask you to stand with me, please. I said, if you know him, we ought to be running out to bring others to him. Which leaves the question, what do I do if I don't know him? And the answer is so simple. You repent, turn away from your sin, and you believe. You trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You get saved. Repent and believe the gospel. If you are not saved, trust in him tonight. If you are saved, then let's make a commitment. Ask God to help us that we could go out and somehow be used by God through the power of his Spirit to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. If he's convicting your heart, would you come while we sing?
Page 516.
Number 516. Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. Would you come?